Welcome to Canberra Metalheads. This is episode 92 of the podcast. Been running this now for 6 years, and finally one of my bucket list guests to have on the show since we started this back in 2018. We've got Youngie here from King Parrot.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good, man. Good. I'm looking forward to having you guys here in Canberra. I'll get the plug out of the way at the start. Professional, mate. You got to get all the business out of the way.
The 16th.
That's right. Yeah, that's the voice of the co-host Jada K. Look at that. We're just chatting before the show, and then I just flip into full radio mode. G'day, how you going? Welcome to the podcast. We'll be here on the 16th with Witch Skull and Deprivation, which ironically are the two other bands that we have interviewed this year from the local scene. Awesome. So it all comes together. This is the end of year episode, as well as the wrap up, where you can go and see every band we've interviewed from the local scene and King Parrot on the 16th. So hey, fucking plugs out of the way.
Love it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Now you just came back from a US tour playing with Lamb of God and a whole bunch of rad shit going on. Let's get into that. How was the tour?
Amazing, man. So we did a bunch of shows with Pantera and Lamb of God, which was great. You know, we got to play some massive shows over there with those guys, and you know, they were playing those kind of custom built amphitheater kind of venues that were they just sound incredible, you know. And that was an awesome experience for us. They were the biggest shows we've ever played in America, for sure. You know, like sort of, you know, around sort of 20,000, 30,000 capacity venues, which was just, mind-boggling for a grindcore band from Melbourne, you know. It was great, though. I mean, like, you know, they're awesome dudes. Obviously, we've had the relationship there with Housecore Records and Phil and all that for a long time. And then, you know, we've known a couple of the guys from Lamb of God for a bit, so it was really cool to hang out with them for an extended period. We did a bunch of shows with Weed Eater as well.
Okay.
While we were there.
Yep.
And we've toured with those guys in Europe and in the States before, and so it was great to catch up with them. We did a week's worth of shows with them as well. Always crazy, wild shows with those guys. They're just the funnest dudes ever. And then we did, like, we went over to sort of, it was a bit of a mishmash of a tour, you know. We had those Pantera and Lamb of God dates, and we had the Weed Eater dates, and then we went over to the West Coast and we headlined with a couple of bands supporting us, Filters Eternal, and who are from Seattle, and Spirit in the Room, who are from California. And they did a week's worth of shows with us as well. And then we had a few headliners in Texas on the way home, which was great too. All went really well. So it's just awesome to get back there, man, you know, and get back on the road over there. It's been since pre-COVID. So it was really exciting to go back. It was awesome. America's a great place. It's like really, really awesome, and then there's some parts that are just really, really shit too. But you know, and one of the things that's great is just the hospitality and the way that the people treat you, and the fans and the people that come out to, you know, it's so supportive. And but then, you know, on the flip side of that, there's so much homelessness and drugs and all of that sort of stuff on the street. That's just sort of gone up another level since the last time we were there prior to COVID. So that was kind of sad to see as well.
Yeah, I was it's cool to see that, like, some people support, like, in the States for bands for Australia, you know what I mean? Like, it's good to see such a cool support for Aussie bands in the States, because I was chatting to a previous episode I did with this year with Tom from Wolfpack.
Oh, yep.
And he was saying when they did their US tour, we're chatting about previous guests on the show and that sort of stuff, and he's like, man, you run into anyone in, like, the metal scene in America and you say you're from Australia, and they're like, oh, cool, do you know King Parrot? Like within the top five bands that anyone lists from the metal scene in the States, as soon as you say from Australia, King Parrot fucking there every time, man. So
that's cool. That's good to know.
It's gone full circle, dude. So the first time I ever seen you guys was probably in around 2012 or 2013 at the Basement.
Right.
And I think I think capacity at the time was a lot less on the venue. I think they had like a 250 cap, whereas now it's like 800.
Yeah, right.
One of the stories I've told on the show is about like how much energy you have on stage. And I was like, I learned the hard way, dude, because I fucking was up the front and you go to do a dive into the crowd and I'm the only one there like that was like actually thinks, oh yeah, I'll catch this dude. So I remember one of the first moshes I was ever in for a King Parrot gig was just you over my shoulder while I'm just spinning around and you're still singing, and then just put you back on stage and called it a night.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I was like, fucking the energy on stage, man. Like what I remember for a lot of the gigs that I seen, people that hadn't seen you at that point were like, holy fuck, that was insane being in that pit. Like, people come out of mosh pit retirement for a King Parrot gig. What's the craziest mosh you've ever found yourself in? Because I know in a lot of the earlier shows, you'd go down into the pit with a wireless mic. What, have you ever got yourself in any sort of situations down there?
Oh, yeah, that's why I sort of don't really do it anymore. Yeah, there's all sorts of situations, you know. I mean, I think early on, I think we were really trying, pushing hard to create that energy and get people involved, you know, get people excited about the local scene and get people into our band, so I would be super confrontational with the audience and taking cues from all sorts of extreme bands, like, you know, stuff like Anal Cunt or G.G. Allin or whatever, but I mean, unless you want to kind of get in fights all the time and do all that sort of stuff, it's not really sustainable, which, you know, I can't really be bothered with that anymore. But I still like to keep the energy extreme, you know, intense, have the show in your face. And I think as time's gone on, you kind of learn your stagecraft a little bit, you know, and you learn how to, you know, bring that show and bring that energy and keep, get the audience involved and have them pay attention without strangling them with your mic cord or whatever. But you know, like, you know, I won't, and you never say never, right? But we just have so much fun playing live, you know. It's like aggressive music, it's angry music, but it's also, we're kind of lighthearted and have fun with it as well, especially, like, you know, with a bass player like Slats, who is loud and boisterous and just ridiculous. So the great thing about our band, I think, is that we don't have to have any sort of preconceived ideas about what we're going to do on stage or anything like that. We just put 100% energy and effort into our live performance. Everyone can do what they want to do, wear what they want to wear, and be who they want to be, and that's what makes, you know, some of the parts, you know, it's a unique sort of band, and we feel like we've kind of found something there, and that we all sort of, you know, we're brothers, you know, we've been all over the world together, played shows all over the world, and spend a lot of time together. So you know, we're very grateful to have each other and to be able to continue to do this, and, you know, and have good things continue to happen for us, which obviously we must be doing something right, you know, if we keep getting these great opportunities coming up. So, you know, we're super grateful for that.
Yeah, nice, man. It's you're saying about traveling the world, doing all these gigs and being tight, man. When we had when I had Slats on the previous episode that I had with the last King Parrot episode, but you know, it's good to work my way through and get you on the show as well. But he said that the craziest thing was when you're like crashing at like Phil Anselmo's place and you go into like the spare room. It's just like they're not just gold records on the wall, they're gold tapes. That's how fucking long this shit's been kicking on for.
Right.
Was there any like moments when you're touring? Because I like my brother Lukey, who runs South Coast Metalheads. I do the Canberra Metalheads.
Okay.
He said that we were at the Magpies gig in the city, probably around 2015, 16. And it was just after the first, like when you guys first linked up with the Phil Anselmo stuff, and I was like. Luke said he went to go buy merch and he had this moment of realization, like as he's handing the cash over, he's like, fuck, these cunts have been hanging out with Phil Anselmo. Like, what the fuck? I'm like 1 degree of separation. Did you ever have, and that was his moment, like that was his moment secondhand. Did you, when you're doing all these tours with like all these crazy like celebrities in the metal scene and all that sort of shit, was there any like moments that you had of realization where you like had to take a second to pinch yourself?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been lots of that sort of stuff. I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, we've been with Housecore Records and Phil's label for the last, you know, it's nearly been 10 years now. Like, we've been, you know, doing all that sort of stuff. So we've been on lots of tours with them, like Down, Super Joint. We toured with the Illegals, and I mean, now we've toured with Pantera as well. So it's fuck, you know, that's super cool. And you know, like a lot of us who grew up around that time in the 90s and early 2000s and stuff like that, Pantera are pretty instrumental band, right? Yeah, just to have that affiliation there is really cool. But I mean, outside of that, you know, we've been pretty close with Max Cavalera too, and he's another sort of idol kind of guy we've grown up with, and you know, a lot of respect for Max, and very grateful for some of the opportunities that he's thrown us. Like, we did a massive Europe tour with Soulfly a few years back, and you know, we stay in contact, and every time we get the opportunity to hang out, we do. And you know, I did some vocals on the Soulfly record Archangel a few years ago, which was really fun. But we've played, like, you know, we've played tour with bands like Obituary and Voivod and Exodus and Dark Angel and
fuck yeah, dude.
Heaps. Cattle Decapitation guys who I love. And
I'm about to have to put Jay in a straitjacket if you keep listing these fucking bands, dude. You've got like his driving to Sydney playlist just listed there.
Oh, there's lots more, man. They're just the ones I can think of off the top of my head. But we played with a lot of the bands that we grew up with. You know, like, that was my point, you know? Like,
yeah.
Is that we played with a lot of bands that I grew up listening to, and you know, experiencing, and just to be able to sort of walk in the same circles as them is you know, it's incredible to be able to do that, and we're very very grateful. It's huge. It's been a total whirlwind. And it's, you know, when we sort of set out to do King Parrot, it was like, we wanted to have an Australian band that had that Australian sound, you know, like from all those bands that we were influenced by, like Bloodthirsty, The Damaged, Bean Flipper, Alchemist, you know, Pod People, Sadistic Execution, you know, like,
yeah, dude,
all that sort of grimy underground, you know, Damaged,
yeah,
grimy underground, grindcore kind of punk rocky kind of stuff. Yep. That was all the stuff that we worshipped, you know, and we wanted to be able to have our own band that had that sound, but also to become a regular touring band that went over and did their thing internationally as well. And you know, I'm glad that we've been able to tick that box. But I mean, anything that happens here on is like a bonus, right? It's just like we kind of did what we set out to do, and now it's just like, well, we still love doing it. We have, you know, like, let's just go and just let it take us where it needs to take us, you know, and have fun. So, it's just happening, you know, and it's, when, once it starts rolling, it gets that momentum. Obviously COVID throws a massive spanner in the works for everyone, but
yep.
It feels like it's rolling again now. We're writing music again. We're, enjoying being on the road. We know that we can, we had that break during COVID and we got back out on the road in the US and did like 34 shows in 36 days.
That's a big tour.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. But we know we did it, we got through it. We didn't kill each other. No one died. There's a few hairy moments, but not. We love doing it, man,
Yeah.
We're out there because we love doing it. We love playing music, and that's we're just blessed to be able to have that experience.
Yeah, that's good, man. I know over the years you've got a bunch of cool merch that I've seen. I've got the Bite Your Head Off Pitcher LP, which is part of the collection. I basically like to collect modern stuff on CD, but King Parrot's the only exception I've got to that rule because I needed that picture disc, so I had to make a fucking exception to it. You know what I mean? And this year for Halloween, I went as Metal Barbie with me fucking King Parrot Barbie shirt on.
You got one?
Yeah, I got one. it was the closest I could do. Because someone was going because my partner was like, I'll do Barbie. And I was like, cool, well, I can't go as Ken because Ken doesn't have a fucking beard. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't look. Oh, well, aside from Barbie, he is his beard. But, the point is, I think I'm better suited to Metal Barbie than trying to scrub up and be Ken. So your fucking merch even paid off there. So
got you across the line. Good stuff.
Yeah. But you got cool shit, man. Like I've seen over the years, like the Hi-Viz at gigs, you see the Hi-Viz King Parrot fucking safety first.
Yeah.
Do you ever go out and see your merch just in public, people that you're just like, hey, fuck, there's one of my shirts, like even in overseas and shit? What's that like?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sometimes you see it, it's kind of strange, it's still kind of a bit weird, but it's cool, especially in the States or whatever. If you just you often be walking around before a gig, before loading or whatever, and you see people walking around the venue wearing King Parrot stuff, have a chat to them and all of that. And but I sometimes randomly you'll see it too. And obviously at other gigs and things like that, when people are, when you're out at shows and all that sort of stuff, you see it. But it's cool, man. I mean, we've always put a lot of time and effort into our merch and we like to have, cool stuff. And I think it's just another extension of what we do. So, I've always enjoyed that part of it and trying to do new things and trying to keep people engaged and do interesting cool stuff. That's always that's the same goes with the videos. It's like it's just another extension of being creative for us. So we've got the music, we've got the art and the merch and all of that, and then we've got the videos as well, so it's all just different ways of being creative, right?
Yeah, you guys are pretty good with the whole complete package, man. You guys kill it.
Well, we try, man. We just love doing it. That's the thing.
If you had any advice, because most of our listeners are also metalheads and band members and playing bands and stuff, do you have any advice for them?
It's a question that you get asked a lot when you're doing this stuff. And I think, you got to do it because you love it, right? If you don't really, really love it, then there's no, you might as well do something else because it's difficult enough as it is to be in the music industry. One of the big things I think is like just doing things like networking and meeting other people and meeting new people and don't be afraid to put yourself out there and meet people in other cities and other places and meet other bands and reach out to other bands and forge those relationships, because that's sort of how we kind of got started with the whole touring thing. Was making those relationships with bands interstate and trading shows and stuff like that. We want to come up to Sydney and Newcastle and Wollongong, and if you guys will come up this weekend, and if you guys want to come down in a couple of weeks time, we'll do Melbourne and Geelong and Ballarat or whatever, like just things like that. That's no brainer shit.
Yeah.
It's it's just what you got to do if you want to make it work, you know. And now, and then when you, you know, like when you sort of, you know, we're nearly 15 years in, I guess, like 13 years or 12 or 13 years in, now we know lots of people all over the world, you know. And it's like, that was the thing that got me the most about going back to America was, man, you just sort of forget how every place we went to, there was someone, at least one person that we'd been there and hung out with before. And, you know, more often than not, there was multiple, many people that we would hang out with. So it's like this party every night of catching up with old friends and people we hadn't seen for a long time. And, you know, that's just one of the great things about it. You know, it's when the ball starts rolling and you do all that stuff and you meet all these people, it's just such a great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, the network, dude. It's like when I was chatting to Lucy about the like Metal for the Brain days and shit like that, and he said that like, man, he's like, we went to a Nirvana gig just because it was a good network, you know, like we're just chatting to people there. He's like, fuck, you know, he actually told a pretty cool story on the previous show about with like a mutual. I remember the first time I seen you guys, it was when Skitzy was still drumming for you.
Okay, yep.
And there was a cool mutual story about when they went to see, they had a hookup through like a network connection that I had to go and see Korn in like 2004 or something when they came out this way. And he said that they were like, oh dude, you need to come and get your mate. And they walk out there and Skits is holding Jonathan Davis from Korn saying like, your music's fucked metal, like you guys are shit. And they were like, Skitzy, no, that's Jonathan Davis from Korn. And, this is like,
you know, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I actually had Skitzy on a previous episode for his damaged tour that he did with like the drum clinic stuff a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And it takes me back. I don't remember. I think it was at the Magpies gig that I was telling you about in the city around that 2014-15 type era. I overheard someone in the crowd say it's good to see King Parrott be able to keep up with the drummer. And it was not long after the switch, you know what I mean? And what did you, was there any, ever any like speed issues there? Because I know that he like Skitzy is so quick. Was there ever any like, you know, trying to keep up with the drummer when in the early days?
What do you reckon? No, look, hey, I'll say this. Damaged is one of my favorite bands of all time. I love Damaged to bits. One of my biggest influences. One of the craziest, most off the chart bands you'll ever come across. I was lucky enough to see him live a couple of times when I was a kid. Changed my outlook on everything, the vocals, the drums, the riffs, everything. Having the opportunity to play with Skits in a band later down the track, wow, like what a experience, you know. He came and did the first US tour that we ever did back in 2013 or 14 or whenever it was. You know, we did shitload of shows. We did nearly like 40 shows. It was an incredible experience. Skits was, you know, I think he's just kind of had enough. I don't know, of that kind of touring, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just getting started and he was kind of going, oh, I'm kind of over it, guys, you know? So that's sort of where it sort of ended. That's where it sort of stopped. But he's a very fast drummer. He's one of the fastest drummers of all time. You can ask anyone that, you know. Like, I mean, and I know that there's people out there that are very prominent drummers in the international scene. People like John Longstreth from Origin and even Gene Hoagland. They respect Skits for what he's done in the scene and for his work in Damaged and plethora of other bands, but I would say mostly Damaged. But yeah, man, he's a fast drummer and he's super talented and sometimes difficult to keep up with, but you know, it was a great opportunity to be able to play with him and have that time that he was in King Parrot. It was only like a year. He didn't really appear on any recordings or anything like that, but we toured all over Australia with him. We toured all over America with him. We did some shows in Asia with him. And you know, I'm very, very grateful for that that time that he was in the band. And you know, I love the dude. He's a great guy. And you know, I saw him last year at the Froth and Fury, not the one that just happened, but the year before when we played, and got to catch up with him and have a really good chat. And he seems to be doing well. So yeah, but nothing but love for Skits.
Sick. Yeah, good stuff, man. Fucking hell. Well, I think you handled that well, mate. I mean, I might have thrown you there on a bit of a bum steer, mate, but fucking hell, you nailed it.
No, it's all good.
I love the I love to hear the connection between all the bands, like, because especially with drummers, it's really hard to I've noticed in the Canberra scene, like, a drummer, you're not a drummer unless you're in three bands, because that's what most drummers are in. So it's really hard to, in Canberra anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to find people in the scene. So it's good to see eventually it all comes full circle and everyone has plays together, and then, like, you know, you see a band and then before you know it, members of that band are in your band, and then things all mix around. So I'm good. It's good to know it even happens at the top tier.
Speaking of which, you mentioned collaborating with the Haley brothers. What was, could you tell us about that, mate?
Oh man, yeah, I can. So must have been like 3 or 4 years ago. Must have been when the COVID stuff was happening. Joe and Dave reached out to me, said they wanted to do a side project. Like, they were doing this grindcore side project thing called, it wasn't called Crisis Act at the time, but it was called Nothing. But they just sent me all these tracks. You know, they'd done like 11 tracks, 12 tracks. And asked if I wanted to do vocals on them. And, you know, and I was, you know, I guess when the Haley brothers ask you to sing in their band, you know, you just do it, right? Yeah, so I just did it.
Excellent.
And, yeah, we've been working together on that for a couple of years now, you know. I mean, we don't have any, it's just a side project. We've never actually been in the same room together and played. It's just been that they've done the tracks, they send them to me, I do the vocals, I send it back to Joe, he mixes it, and then me and Dave kind of handle putting it out, which is great, you know. And oh man, it's been so much fun, especially this last one that we just did. I had so much fun with it. We've been getting really great feedback. We put out the latest EP, which is called Artificial Moose. There's a video that we put out yesterday, and it's up on all the streaming services and all that sort of stuff. We've got all the social media shit like you do. And yes, it's been so much fun playing with those guys. I mean, they send me these demos for these songs, and they're like album quality. It's so tight, you'd never even, they're like, oh, here, we've got some demos. And I'm like, dude, that sounds like a finished fucking album. You know, it's that good, you know, like, they're that good. I mean, the most incredible musicians, those guys. And, you know, it's just an honor to be able to play with them and have fun. And we do, like, as long as we're having fun, that's the most important thing. And I think those guys are, you know, they've got Psychroptic, but they've got all the other projects that they've worked on, like Ruins, and Dave's doing Werewolves and King and Abremelin. And I know Joe's down there in Tassie doing other stuff too. I think he just did another different side project with Peppo, the singer from Psychroptic. And man, those guys are just incredible. So to have a little project with both of them that we all enjoy is so much fun. So we're gonna keep doing it, you know. We're gonna do an album next. Like, we've just been doing little EPs. Like, it's like 10 songs, 11 songs or whatever. It fits on a 7-inch record. So
proper grand card.
That's what we've been doing. And but next we're going to do a full length record. So that's probably going to be like 20 or something songs. And they're all like a minute long, minute and a half. I think the longest song we've got just clocks in just over 2 minutes. So and that's like a ballad. we're gonna keep doing it, man. We're having a great time with it. We're getting a lot of requests to play live, and the guys are already really busy doing their own thing, and so am I. But we're gonna try and make some time at some point in the next year or so to try and do a tour or something. So that would be super cool, and just to get on stage and see how it translate live, because I get a feeling, you know, just like with those songs and the groove, it's like, I mean, it sounds exactly like what you would expect it to sound like. It's like sort of dumbed down psychroptic riffs with me doing vocals over the top,
which sounds mad.
Yeah, it just works, man. I don't know what it just works. And you know, for the sheer fact that we've never actually even played in the same room together is just like awesome, you know. It's like, I love that. But we're gonna see what happens, and you know, never say never, and hopefully we can get out on the road and play some shows. I'd love to just sort of see how it translates live, because there's so many good riffs in there, and they're all just sort of played once, you know. So there's like all these hooks and build ups and slowdowns and catchy riffs and shit like that, but you only get it once, and it's on to the next song, and then the next song, you know. And I think if we played everything that we've got right now, it would only be a 25-minute set. So.
Yeah, sure.
aside from vocals, do you have anything that you tinker with, like instruments, that sort of stuff? And does that come into the writing process because you kind of know other stuff?
Yeah. Like I play guitar.
Yep.
I play bass, and I'm a terrible drummer. But, mostly just guitar and bass, and I wouldn't say I'm more of a bass player. I've always been a bass player. That was my thing when I was younger. But I like to play acoustic, and I've got a nice acoustic, and I've got my bass guitar over there. You can kind of maybe see it.
There she is.
So I've been getting back into that a little bit lately. I haven't done it a lot since, you know, King Parrot sort of. Before King Parrot, I was always playing bass and singing in bands. And then once
the Lemmy dude,
I mean, I love playing bass, you know, I've always loved it. So I'm actually taking my bass and one of my guitars in to get set up, by this guy I know in town. And I'm gonna get back into it. I've got another friend of mine who I like to jam with, and we're gonna start doing some stuff, him on guitar, me on bass, and doing a bit of vocals as well. And we're gonna have a crack at doing that. So we'll have another little project going soon too.
Nice. Well, a little tease there. Good stuff, man. That's it's good to know that, like, you know, people dabble with other shits. Like when I was talking to Lucy, he was like, yeah, I still play bass while I'm at home. Like I just sit there and fucking, like, he's not in anything these days, but he said he just likes to keep it up, you know what I mean?
Right.
And just fucking around. I think that it also, as far as like the writing process for stuff, do you have a lot of input into that as well?
Yeah, like we kind of all do, you know. I haven't written any riffs or anything like that with King Parrot, but when it comes to the vocals and the arrangements of the songs and stuff, we always kind of have the skeleton with the riffs and the drums or whatever, and then I'll write vocals, listen to the boys jamming and all of that sort of stuff, and then we'll rearrange sometimes if we get a little vocal hook or something like that. It's like, oh, hold on, maybe just do three bars of that, don't do four, and we'll cut it off here and we'll do a stop or whatever, or, you know, things like that. So that's when it comes to the arrangement side, that's probably more where I come in with the vocals and stuff. But we're working on new stuff at the moment, and that's why I was like, that's why I want to go get my guitar set up, because I want to actually write some riffs on this next record.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'd like to, man. I mean, it's something that I've always enjoyed and love doing, so I'm excited to be able to, you know, potentially throw some riffs at the boys and see if they're up to the standard, you know.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But it'll have to be something really good for it to get over the line.
Those Haley brothers are fucking rubbed off on you.
Oh man, they are inspiring, dude. Man, far out. Like, Joe's Joe's an incredible guitarist, man. But the funny thing is and one of the things that many people probably wouldn't know is that, man, that motherfucker can play the drums too. He's an incredible drummer. He is. He's almost as good as Dave.
Yeah. The secret backup, the secret fucking backup drummer.
Yeah, yeah, totally, man, totally. Yeah, you could sit there and do double kick and play the guitar at the same time.
Yeah, dude. Well, speaking of playing gigs and doing live shows and stuff, we'll wrap it up with that, man. We'll do the final breakdown of upcoming gigs. You heard it at the start, now you can hear it again. 16th of December at the Basement. We're coming back from an edit because I just fucked something up, so let's get into the second part of the plug. I didn't fuck anything up. I just cut out a section of the show because it was too good for you motherfuckers, but I'm just gonna cut straight into, guess what's coming up? We have King Parrot's going to be at Knotfest as well in March of next year, of 2024. So that was really cool to see you on the Knotfest lineup that just dropped recently. So I was like, fuck yeah, there's another one that I get to see that those guys fucking hitting for as well. So
good. Yeah, man, absolutely. We're stoked. And we've got these like three shows in December. We're doing Gosford on the 15th, I think, and then on the Friday night at the Drifters Wharf, then we come down to see you guys in Canberra on the 16th, then on the Sunday, on the 17th, we're playing in Sydney Harbour.
Yeah,
we're playing on a boat.
Fuck yeah,
dude. Sunday afternoon. So yeah, I'm excited about that, man. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I listened to the Joster show with Jamie Joster from Hatebreed. Yeah. And he was talking about how they just did the like the metal cruise, like this like metal what's it?
Saw that.
Yeah, yeah. The Headbangers Boat, I think he called
it. Yeah, it was the Lamb of God thing.
Yeah, fucking oath, dude. And they had heaps of interviews with people from that. So it was like good content as well to hear, you know, being on there with all those bands, being able to chat to them. He was like, if I could have anyone of his guests as well on this and have that crossover, then fucking, you know, he's got like God level guests as like regular things. And yeah, like I said, man, I made a list when I first started and you were on it. So I'm glad that we were able to tick that box finally get you on the show, dude. So yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. And I'll see you at the King Parrot gig coming up. Cheers.
Thanks.